worst of times, through Nixon and through Bush. Do you remember 36? We went our separate ways. You fought for Stalin, I fought for freedom. You believe in authority, I believe in myself. I'm a Molotov cocktail, you don't parry. Yo, baby, what's that confused look in your eyes? What I'm trying to say is that I burn down buildings while you sit on a shelf inside of them. You call the cops on the looters and pie throwers. They call it class war, I call it co-conspirators. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, you're a spineless liberal. We marched together for the 8-hour days and held hands in the streets of Seattle. But when it came time to throw bricks through that Starbucks window, you left me all alone, all alone. You watched in awe at the red, white, and blue on the 4th of July. While those fireworks were exploding, I was burning, that swinging my black flag, high, eating the peanuts that the parties have tossed you in the backseat of your father's new Ford. You believe in the ballot, you believe in reform, you have faith in the elephant and jackass. And to you, solidarity's a four-letter word, we're all hypocrites. But you're a patriot, you thought I was only joking when I screamed kill Whitey at the top of my lungs, at the cops in their cars and the men in their suits. No, I won't take your hand and marry the state. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, you're a spineless liberal. We marched together for the 8-hour days and held hands in the streets of Seattle. But when it came time to throw bricks through that Starbucks window, you left me all alone, all alone.
Hello, welcome to the Circle Day. This is Mr. G. More importantly though, this is my city. My city. I was born here, raised here, my family helped build it. But it's being torn apart. Demons are stalking the land. Their names? Profit. Capital. Landlordism. Tearing, clawing. Hospitals are all gone. Down, remade for these scum. Rich, stinking scum. Buildings just being rebuilt. Look at Croydon. A £1 billion Croydon. £1 billion going towards Croydon. But not for anything useful. Nah, for the new Westfield construction. Shops, cinemas, and more shops on top of shops. Only thing is, the shops are already there. This is Croydon. It's got two large shopping centres. Everyone knows the Whitgift Centre. You can spend days walking around Croydon not buying anything worthwhile. They've got every crappy store possible under the sun. Tops by the ton. Perfume, lakes loads of it. Child labour trainers, sure. Dozens and dozens and dozens of varieties. No. Instead, £1 billion is going to be spent knocking down and rebuilding HMV. Smashing and constructing out of those smashed bricks a new River Island. Yeah, sod schools. To hell with youth centres. Smash the NHS. We need more shops. Built on top of the identical shops we already have. Make a new sodding mother care out of the rubble of the last one. Sure, stick in a ton of offices too. Just what we need after the Shard. Not new homes, new bloody office space. And for what? Just to smash it down in 10 years' time, do it all again. It's not just the shops though, is it? Look at the estates. The old slums being turned into yuppie accommodation. Hackney, Elephant and Castle, Whitechapel, Peckham, even Brixton. The old no-go areas, hell in the council housing, now unaffordable, unaccessible to anyone moving in. But the rich, the children of bankers, coming in, spreading their art and their music, bringing culture to the old slums. They think they bring in the culture. They think there was nothing in Shoreditch before they got there. It's a lie. Do you think there was no such thing as graffiti in London before you turned into street art? Banksy didn't create it. We did. It was working class youth talking to each other on the streets and you robbed it from us and made it into a commodity. You think we didn't sing songs before? The pubs were full of music. What you bring in now is death to culture. You're parasites. It's amazing though. These old council houses, the old council estates are emptied and filled with the rich. They would never have even been built if it wasn't knowing that the middle classes and the rich would consume them. Councils would never have approved their buildings. Public people would never have paid for them to go up. The builders wouldn't have laid the bricks on Balfron Tower if they knew that it would become an art hub. The Trenick Tower would never even been designed by Goldfinger if he thought it'd be for anyone else but the working classes. If they all knew that the housing we had fought for would be sold off, it wouldn't have been laid. The markets around them, the community hubs and the street centres, they would never have existed. Look at Brick Lane now. It's selling tat for a fortune. Crap you wouldn't have picked up at a boot sale as a kid. It's now going for more than you earn in a week. And for what? This is supposed to be London. Where are the London people? Where's everyone? Gravesend, Hastings, Thurrock. Everyone's being shipped off to the ends of nowhere so Sebastian and Tarquin can swan around. Sending us off to places with no work, with no lives. No work. How can there be no work and no houses and no jobs? We need 1 million homes, 1 million teachers, 1 million nurses. Nah, but all we get is poxy jobs in poxy shops. So we just rot in tacky new builds where you can hear your neighbour fart 5 doors down. Angry? Sure. But it's not all bad. You can vote. All you need is someone you can vote for. I'm sure you'll be heard if you vote. I'm sure someone will listen to what you're angry about. I'm sure someone cares enough to fix everything for you. Ah, well, after that bit of a rant, I think I'd do with a bit of music. This next song is off the album Can't Turn Back, Songs from the Global Uprising. It's by Ryan Harvey, the most powerful musician I've ever heard with a guitar.
They got cops on the streets, walking in lines with taser guns, wooden batons, are trying to keep you scared with violent attacks. You know it all comes down to how you react, and now you're face to face, seeing it all, dispersal warnings and making the call. They got buses to pack with people like you, and they did that in the 50s. The movement grew. Young student, new to the game, movement elder, fan of the flames, combat veteran, seen it before. Same tactics used in the foreign war, final warning, you're keeping your ground. Committed people sitting all around through the bullhorn. It's all distorted. You can't leave now, we can't afford it. Hold the line, even if your voice shakes, friend of mine, even if your voice shakes, push forward, it's up to you, see it through. And the silence breaks, voices are loud, rubber bullets crack, pierce the crowd, heart starts pumping, scared but proud, because there's people still sitting in the tear gas cloud. The line advances, they're swinging sticks, hear the marching boots and the taser clicks, screaming erupts, someone got struck, people calling for a medic, they better hurry up, now the vomit comes like a flood, getting choked by the gas, hands covered in blood, bruised and beaten, limping away, remember it's always been this way, they'll beat you down, show you the guns, it gets violent sometimes, and then change comes, you stand firm, organize, and then come back, till there's too many people for them to attack, you gotta hold the line, even if your voice shakes, friend of mine, even if your voice shakes, push forward, it's up to you, see it through. When something clicks, when you're confused, tired, and scared as shit, but your body's alive with that heartfelt drive, and you engage the problem right before you arrive. When you could've ran, but you stayed inside, when you were beaten and gassed, and you still came back, that feeling of power that you got deep down rises to the top. When you get beat down, there's a world to win. When your heart is strong and a dozen new wrongs to focus on, every day brings a vision to strive for, something to live and die for. When you go back home and you're on your own, it's easy to feel like you're all alone, but it's through memory and hope that we stay supported, cause can't quit now, we can't afford it. Hold the line, even if your voice shakes, friend of mine, even if your voice shakes, push forward, it's up to you, see it through.
Thank you for that, Ryan Harvey. Next, I want to talk about something dear to me. This cult that we're living in. No, it's not a bizarre Maoist sect capturing people in slavery. It's far more powerful than that. It's intuitive to everything that we are. It makes us happy. You want your wife to be happy? You want your wife to love you? Buy her a ring. Bit of jewellery. Easy. You want your kids' positive attention? Buy them a PS4. Want some self-respect? Buy yourself some new shoes. Feeling like a philanthropist today? Lovely. Turn to Oxfam. Buy a goat. You're lonely? Buy something to make you more friendly. Sad? Buy happiness. Don't bother talking. Don't bother praying. Don't bother doing anything else. I mean, the churches, they're empty anyway, aren't they? Same as the pubs. All the locals are gone and closing. All you've got is the Witherspoons to buy something in now. Music halls, long gone. Cinemas, empty. Download it instead. One positive thing out of it. But don't worry if the churches and pubs are empty. Don't worry at all. The shops are full. There is no God after all. There's no magic, no nothing anymore. You're not what you eat, you're what you buy. Welcome to this cult of capital. Its cathedrals of consumptions are on every single street. What am I saying? Nah, sod that. They are the streets. Except you can't smoke on these streets anymore. You can't take photos. Can't wear a hood. You can't even run in our new streets without a Westfield security guard grabbing you. Because of course if you run, you might miss a product. Best to take your time. Walk along nice and slow so you can read all the writing on the wall. Not that what's on the wall anymore will ever be free again. The walls around us are this new street. There are only adverts these days. Adverts welcome you to the new golden glow of the world religion of happiness that is purchasing. Christian society used to be supported by priests, barons, knights, popes, kings. All of them would believe in its madness. Anyone that didn't believe in its madness was a lunatic, a nut job. It's the same today though, isn't it? Except it's not around Christianity, it's neoliberalism. Shop owners, union bosses, lawyers, media men, police commissioners, MP, charity bigwigs, judges, they all preach the same thing. Capitalism works, go on, buy something, you love it, it works for us all, we're all in it together and it's lots and lots of fun, it's oh so fair. Our whole life is a purchase cycle. Mothercare, then to Toys R Us. Before we understand the rules of society, we learn from our prams about purchasing. Then we're off to JD Sports ourselves, off to HMV, and a bit more, and you're in Wilkinson's and Argos. Before long, you're sitting back, introducing your own children to their god in Mothercare. Yeah, that's right, little Stacey. Watch me buy this for you, then you'll be happy and stop complaining. And the stores, never-ending rows upon rows of identical clothes. Zara, Topman, River Island, just like Christianity, Islam, Buddhism. It's the same garbage on offer. The only difference is the purchaser, desperate to buy into a sense of worth and individuality. The companies are bought into this as well. How do you sell a coat that doesn't work? And buy something that doesn't work? And buy something that doesn't work? I mean, the coat that doesn't keep you warm, or the shoes that fall apart within a year. Give it an identity. It doesn't need to be functional anyway. Your product might not work, but it shows you're one of them. You're one of the followers of their cult. Even poison's being sold to us with a sense of identity. Sure, come down to Iceland, buy some frozen fat, some muck to keep your arteries solid. Lovely. If you're lucky, it might not be horse meat, but you never know. But you're not buying it because it's tasty or because of anything else. It's the Iceland family on sale for Christmas. That can be you. Everyone's sitting around thinking that you're great as well, just like in the adverts. Ah, oh, if only. Everything. We don't even identify in the same way. You're not Hindu anymore. You're a Gap girl. You're not a Labour voting person anymore. You're Adidas. It's the brand, not the quantity or the quality. It doesn't matter if a Sony laptop is better than a Apple tablet. Apple is the one though, isn't it? Ah, Apple. How you've brought it about in such a beautiful way. They led the way truly. Now, in constant service of their dead saviour, Jesus. Wait, no, not Jesus, Jobs, Steve Jobs, yeah, that's it. He died nailed to an apple. The stores are temples, can only be described as such, with saints running around selling you rubbish. People lay in wait days before. Christians used to do that, running around, whipping themselves for days in the hope of it being worthy that they get to sit in front of God's gaze. Except to God's gaze now, it's a new product they get to touch. and of course spend the rest of their time praying to this gadget, hours each day finding out the answers to life. But the stores aren't even enough, are they? Not the temples. They don't have to preach themselves anymore with books and gospels. Ah, they've got cinema. Oh God, the films. Facebook, jobs, the internship. What utter crap. Trying to show the fun and adventure of these corporations. People actually pay to see the story of Facebook, a computer program about sharing photos with your friends. It's not a thriller, it's not suspense, it's not even corporate drama. It's nothing, it's an advert going from start to end. The googliness of internship? What the hell was that even about? It didn't make any sense. Thank God for the Pirate Bay, at least that way you can see this stuff without having to buy into it. Only a true believer could stomach paying for it. Capitalism's even been absorbing the old religious holidays. This year saw Eid celebrated with food reductions in all the supermarkets. Ah, you can see it right now. Tesco and Adidas, Tesco's and Sainsbury's, they care so much about Eid. You can see them stretching their wings, trying to get it slowly a profit margin there. I mean, Christmas is of course the big joke. It's a little bit even funnier, because of course the Christians nicked Christmas, so I guess it's only fair that capitalism then goes on and nicks it again. I guess it's a second-hand holiday being passed on and on and on. Maybe it's just a good name that people like. Yeah, we can have good publicity around this Christmas, we should completely absorb that into our dynamic. Christmas is of course our mass celebration of buying and debt. It even manages to sustain our system. How many of these corporations would really be around if it wasn't for the Christmas debt that we all acquire to buy everyone in our family a present they don't even want, for them to just chuck it out? And of course, they've got to buy us some rubbish we don't even want. The billions and billions and billions spent just buying crap for us to all throw away. But that's it, isn't it? Religion is about manipulation. The poor giving to the rich. You're not just buying something, you're actually giving something to a multi-billionaire to give you some rubbish to give to someone else. Today, we're told by the capitalist system, and we believe it, that if we give a little bit of money to these capitalists in the form of buying off some rubbishy present, we'll be happier tomorrow. And of course, we've got the chance of being them one day. These bosses, of course, through their ridiculous propaganda and PR firms being paid billions each year to put out that they're gods and holy people and very nice and friendly and they always stroke lambs, we're told that these saints, well, they're not saints, are they? No. Only a devil could reap in £900 million of profit off a freezing family in energy bills. Steve Jobs and Bill Gates both made billions out of the misery of factory workers. You see, they sell their image of happiness, the joy of consumption of their product, the entitlement and happiness it will bring into our life. Buying their crap will make us blissful. But behind all their spiel, they're just a bunch of rich scumbags sucking away our lives. And that's what makes them exactly like every single religion. After that, I think we definitely need a jolly Christmas song, though. And here's over to Dave Rovix, his Red Sessions album with Pirate Santa.
Santa and his elves worked on the North Pole, making toys to take to kids around the earth. They worked hard to try to fill the orders. Then they flew the toys from Portland out to Perth. Then the whole economy collapsed, and everyone was getting fired. Santa said, it's time to close the workshop. Santa said, more urgent measures are required. Santa saddled up his reindeer, and with the skull and bones unfurled, Santa went and joined the pirates for the good of the children of the world. Santa flew down to the Gulf of Aden, waited for a good ship to attack. The crew gave up without a fight. Santa put put the toys all in a sack. Santa headed to Moldova, gave out everything, and then he flew back to the Gulf of Aden to go and do it all again. Santa saddled up his reindeer, and with a skull and bones unfurled, Santa went and joined the pirates for the good of the children of the world. The world's navies tried to catch him, but Santa always got away. Like Robin Hood with superpowers, there upon his flying sleigh. Eventually they got him in a helicopter raid, but not before he inspired many more to take up the pirate trade. Santa saddled up his reindeer, and with a skull and bones unfurled, Santa went and joined the pirates for the good of the children of the world. Santa saddled up his reindeer, and with a skull and bones unfurled, Santa went and joined the pirates for the good of the children of the world.
Rovix, what a genius. Part of the reason I went for the legendary Harvey and Rovix is because I know there's been problems with copyrights at the moment and things like that. So it's good to use some good old school anarchist music. Brilliant. Pirate Santa, legend. But I need to talk about some trauma I had. It was fairly horrific. It happened to me last night. I engaged in my standard practice in London. Walked 20 minutes in the rain. Catch a bus staring out of the window. All in silence, of course. Climb on to the Docklands Light Railway. Move down stops of crowded people to the Jubilee Line. Hop on, keep moving, keep on through, push through the crowds, keep on going, wait at the platform, stand on the train, push through a crowd. Get off the train. The Overground's got delays on it. Divert yourself to London Bridge. Perfect. More pushing through the tubes, more moving, get to London Bridge, more crowds, more than I could even actually believe, to be honest. Curses, cramming in. Apparently all the trains are down. London Bridge is a no-go area at the moment. On to Victoria, perfect. Miles and miles of this cramming. Oh no, wait, just before you got there, because of health and safety reasons or some other nonsense, Victoria's closed down as well to prevent overcrowding. Great, back on the Overground. Waiting, waiting, more waiting, more crowding. It's gonna pop. Jesus. I'd kill for a seat. Look at that office prick sitting right there in front of me. He's been sitting down all day. I can see it on his face. And what do you get? Looking at this office prick sitting down all day and then sitting down. Hours of this, crammed. People coughing in your faces the whole time. How can people cough so much? After hours of this, you finally get to your home station and you step out. And what happens to you after this joyful event? You get your wallet raided. Again. And the prices are going up. Again. And why not? What else can we do? The profiteers running transport know we've got no choice. So they just rack up that price. Wages are frozen and I'm paying more and more to get that frozen pay packet. Still, our Lord and Master, the one and only true God, Boris Johnson, is going to fix it all. By sacking thousands and thousands of staff from the London Underground. Genius, genius, just what the bursting at the seams underground needs. Fewer staff, Why not sack 10,000 A&E doctors while you're at it, Mr. Johnson, you posh muppet? Worst is as well, you can see the common sense of not sacking all the staff, but the RMT are going to step in. They're going to mess it up. Of course I agree with them. Strike, strike, strike. It's just not going to work though, is it? You need to protect your members. You need to keep them going. But everyone else, the millions on the tubes, strike, strike. It's not going to work. You need more people than just yourselves to keep your staff going. You need the people that are using it as well. Closing the train lines alienates everyone from the RMT. What you should be doing is running the trains but refusing to collect fares. A strike on paying to cramped trains. You might just have a chance of winning it. Still though, at least with this, Boris Johnson did have some slight good news to offset the horrific knowledge that we will be facing a year-long tube strike starting from basically January. We're to get all-night tubes on the weekend. Of course, a great idea in itself. Having tubes that you can... The idea of being able to get from North London to East London to South London to West London after 12 o'clock on a Friday night is thoroughly welcomed. And I think it is a genius idea. But it is absolutely hilarious, the idea that I could get anywhere on a Saturday, no matter what time it is. I've been able to get from one side of the London to the other on a Saturday or a Sunday since the Olympics. The engineering works have lasted up for 10 years. 10 years of replacement buses. Even new lines like the Overground, they're always down. I'm convinced it's got nothing to do with repairs or with tracks. The train corporations, they just don't see the worth in running a weekend service. The profit boost of a weekday rush hour can't be lost on something as demeaning and low-worthy as running a service for a few people to get around at the weekend. I mean, sod it, it's only us, the people that have to sit in your rubbish trains all the time, waiting for hours on day, wanting to use the service at the weekend. You know, come on, before you want to come out with nonsense about getting the service going at like 4 a.m. on a Saturday, sort it out on a Saturday as normal. We want to be able to get the train on a Sunday morning. We want to be able to see staff in a carriage and at the place when the Oyster card goes wrong, we'll actually be able to talk to a member of staff. Still though, I've got to cut it short there. I'm going to have to run off. It's time to catch that last train. So here's JD's signing out song for the Circle Day. Have a nice week. And I'll speak to you soon. Maybe.
Of times, through the worst of times, through Nixon and through Bush. Do you remember 36? We went our separate ways. You fought for Stalin, I fought for freedom. You believe in authority, I believe in myself. I'm a Molotov cocktail, you're done pairing your baby. What's that confused look in your eyes? What I'm trying to say is that I burn down buildings while you sit on a shelf inside of them. You call the cops on the looters and pie throwers. They call it class war. I call it co-conspirators. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist. You're a spineless liberal. We marched together for the 8-hour days and held hands in the streets of Seattle. But when it came time to throw bricks through that Starbucks window, you left me all alone. All alone. You watched in awe at the red, white, and blue on the 4th of July. While those fireworks were exploding, I was burning, that swinging my black flag high, eating the peanuts that the parties have tossed you in the backseat of your father's new Ford. You believe in the ballot, you believe in reform, you have faith in the elephant and jackass. And to you, solidarity's a four-letter word. We're all hypocrites, but you're a patriot. You thought I was only joking when I screamed kill Whitey at the top of my lungs.